Chapter 7. The Insult. Sarah and Jeffrey quickly became good friends. He was very clever and often made her laugh. Although it was very nice to have someone to talk to finally, Sarah still wondered why she didn't have more friends. "You're a very busy person," Jeffrey tried to explain to Sarah. "You work hard during school hours. Then you go to rehearsals for the play, and after that, you go home and work on your schoolwork and your project. That doesn't give you much time to meet people and make friends."
"But I met you at rehearsals," said Sarah.
"Why don't more people in the play want to be friendly with me?"
Jeffrey was silent for a moment. "I don't really know," he said finally. "You know, I'm not very popular with the rest of the cast either. You're really the only friend I've got from the play, and I haven't got many others at school either."
"At least you've got friends outside school," Sarah said.
Jeffrey didn't say anything. He knew Sarah was right. He had many friends in the neighborhood and spent time with them nearly every day after school.
"Well, I'd just like to know why nobody wants to be my friend," Sarah said quietly before saying goodbye to Jeffrey.
A few days later, Sarah's question was answered just after rehearsal had finished. She was walking towards her bike when she realized that she had left her helmet in the school hall, so she returned to get it. She was just about to go into the hall when she heard her name and stopped. Rebecca, the girl who was playing Juliet, was talking to Ian, who had the role of Mercutio. They were standing in the hall with their backs to the door.
"I don't care what Miss Kirk thinks," said Rebecca. "I think that Sarah's American accent will ruin the production. And I know that almost everyone else in the cast feels the same way. We all speak correct English, but she sounds like she's in a cowboy film."
They both laughed loudly, not realizing that Sarah was standing outside and could hear every word.
"It's not just her American accent," said Ian. "I also think that she's a terrible actress."
"Exactly," agreed Rebecca. "She doesn't even try to act. She's as boring on stage as she is in real life. At least we both know how to act. We know the difference between real life and theatre."
"Sarah will make the audience fall asleep," Ian continued.
"We'll have to wake everybody up."
Ian and Rebecca laughed again and began walking out of the hall. Sarah didn't want to be seen, so she ran into the nearest empty classroom and hid. She heard Rebecca and Ian pass the classroom. Although Sarah was very upset by their comments, she resolved not to cry and stayed silent. Finally, their voices disappeared in the distance. Sarah went into the hall, got her helmet, and returned to her bicycle. As she rode her bike home, Sarah got angrier and angrier, thinking about what she had just heard.
"They're so cruel," she thought. "I'm tired of people laughing at me. They know nothing about me."
By the time she got home, Sarah was furious. Her mother was sitting in the living room and heard her open the door. She asked Sarah about her day, but Sarah didn't answer her.
"I don't want to talk to anyone," she thought. "I just want to be alone at the moment."
Sarah walked up the stairs, went straight to her room and closed the door. Although she had a lot of schoolwork to do that afternoon, Sarah was too angry and upset to concentrate.
"I hate it here," she thought as she sat on her bed and looked out of her window. "I hate school. I hate the people in it. Oh, why did we leave Montana?"
Suddenly, Sarah heard a knock on her door.
"Go away. I want to be alone," she shouted angrily.
"I just wanted to make sure that you're okay," said her mother.
"I'm worried about you,"
Sarah suddenly felt terrible about the way she was behaving. What had happened at school wasn't her mother's fault.
"I'm sorry for shouting, Mom," she said. "Please come in."
"I watched you ride up to the house on your bike from the living room window," said her mother as she went into Sarah's room. "You looked really upset. What's wrong, Sarah?"
"Everything's wrong," Sarah answered. "I've got no friends. I've got no life. Everyone laughs at me. I'm a terrible
Sarah, interrupted her mother. "Try to relax a little, okay?" "I'm sure things aren't so terrible. Now tell me one thing at a time." Sarah was silent for a moment. Then finally she spoke.
"Okay," she said. "Well, it isn't entirely true that I've got no friends. I've got one, Jeffrey. I enjoy being with him, and we have fun when we're together. But he's the only one. The other students either don't pay any attention to me, or they laugh at me. I just heard two of the people in the cast say that I can't act, and then they laughed at my American accent. I thought that I would make more friends working on the play, but that hasn't happened." "Well, the problem is that you haven't got enough free time to meet other people," said Sarah's mother. "Maybe your schoolwork, the rehearsals, and your independent project are too much for you. Your father and I admire your ambitions, but we've also been worried about you lately."
"Why?" Sarah asked in surprise.
"Well, you always look very tired, and you seem really upset lately," answered her mother. "I'm not suggesting that you give something up. I just want you to look after yourself better."
"Thanks," said Sarah, giving her mother a kiss. "You always know how to make me feel better." After her mother left, Sarah sat at her desk and looked at all the papers that she had for her project on Cervantes. "Mom's right. I am doing too much," she thought. "I'm not even sure that I'll do a good job on the project, and the play seems like a waste of time. Rebecca and Ian are right. I'm a terrible actress. I'm going to give up both things. I'll tell Mr. Young and Miss Kirk tomorrow." Sarah began to work on other schoolwork. However, it was soon difficult for her to keep her eyes open. "I'll just close my eyes for a minute," thought Sarah. She put her arms on the desk, put her head on them, and fell asleep instantly. Suddenly, the room was full of very strong light, and it woke Sarah up. She opened her eyes, looked up, and turned to see where the light was coming from. "This isn't happening," she thought. Miguel de Cervantes was sitting on her bed.